ran without any other outside entities. We don't need that. If we allow that, there will be more corruption. There would be more killings. The FBI are terrorists. When we're a victim in our own cities and communities for acts that we didn't do or commit, we are victimized by the terrorists, which is the police and the FBI. So when I leave here today, I would like to encourage you to take a stance today and say no to this. We are concerned about our communities. If you guys here can't get any more training for our police officers, what do we need them for? If we can't get enough funding, I mean, there's funding for them. You guys are hiring more and more police officers. We don't need them. Just give our police officers more training and more materials that they need, you know, and cut down on the racism and racial profiling in our communities. It's not only about color anymore. It's about every citizen, we the people. What happened to our Constitution, people? What happened to the Constitution? Our forefathers will turn over in their grave if they knew what was happening today.
Thanks, Ms. Haynes.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Doctor?
You can hand it to the clerk.
Thanks for waiting.
My name is Dr. Herman Frankel. My wife, Ruth, and I have lived and worked in Portland since 1965. Mayor Adams, Commissioner Leonard, Commissioner Fritz, Commissioner Saltzman, Commissioner Fish. In the next 2 minutes, I want to explain why top secret security clearance for Portland Police Bureau Commissioner in Charge and City Attorney must be a precondition for any discussion about Portland participation in work directly with the FBI Joint Terrorism Task Force. You have copies of my written testimony, which will be available as public documents for anybody who's interested. In 1789, representatives of the 13 colonies did not sign on to the Constitution without first creating a Bill of Rights to protect the people from a strong central government. In 2006, the U.S. Department of Justice Office of the Inspector General issued a 331-page report that I found astonishing and terrifying. 331 pages of documentation of ways in which the Federal Bureau of Investigation violated its own procedures, as well as violating law, as well as violating standard professional practice in its assault on Portland area attorney Brandon Mayfield. I think it's essential for the mayor to have top secret security clearance to be able to monitor not only the names of people who were sources of information, but as you indicated, where the information came from, how the information came to light, because we rely upon you, our elected officials, to be protecting our rights and our freedoms. I hope that at any time in the future, when anyone hears the name Brandon Mayfield or the name Muhammad Osman Muhammad, that what comes to mind are the words written by James Baldwin in 1971 to Angela Davis, "If they take you in the morning, they will be coming for us that night." I'm grateful to you for your courage. I'm grateful to you for your integrity. I am grateful to you for repeatedly appealing for active public participation, in this case, input and testimony, in the making of decisions that affect the lives and will affect the lives of all of us who live, work, study, travel, worship in Portland. Thank you.
Thank you, Doctor, very much. Appreciate it. Thank you all.
Thank you, Mayor. Next three are Deborah Wood, Michelle Lundquist, and Harvey Thorstad. And they will be followed by Mike Smith, Rebecca Lewis, and Malcolm Shaddock.
Thanks for waiting this afternoon. Are you Ms. Wood?
I'm Ms. Lundquist.
Okay, is Ms. Wood in the room?
Mike Smith.
Mr. Smith?
He's coming.
Ms. Lundquist, would you like to begin?
Sure.
Thanks.
My name is Michelle Lundquist. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. I'm proud to be here with others from Sisters of the Road. Now more so than ever before, we the people must rise up and stand together to fight for our freedoms. By allowing the JTTF into Portland, our human links and rights will be weakened and risk being broken. Class wars, race wars, drug wars, and senseless acts of violence are taking place and being committed every day by people who are and have been appointed to serve and protect our country's people and freedoms. Violations of our First, Fourth, and Fifth Amendments have been taken away numerous times by the FBI and their unwarranted searches and surveillance against innocent people. In 2010, Santa Clara resident Yazir Afifi, the son of an Islamic American community leader, had been under unwarranted surveillance for 3 to 6 months after a tracking device was placed under his car. After realizing Yazir was uninvolved with any terrorist activity, he was approached by FBI agents at his home, demanded to return them their tracking device. We must stop these acts before they taint our city and our local law enforcement. By allowing the JTTF into Portland, the opportunity for espionage, increased oppression, fear, racial profiling, and unwarranted surveillance will increase, as well as create a larger divide between our community, our freedoms, and our civil rights. Please keep the JTTF out of Portland.
Thank you for your testimony. Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Mr. Thorstad.
Thank you, Mayor, Council members. I'm Harvey Thorstad. Commander U.S. Navy, retired Vietnam veteran. I was advisor there for a year. I'm past president of Veterans for Peace here in Portland. I love Portland. It's a great city. I've lived in many cities, Yokosuka, Saigon, Washington, D.C., Newport, Rhode Island, San Diego, Long Beach, Bremerton, and many more. Portland's the only city I really have an affinity for. I really like the way it is. I feel part of it. Washington, D.C., I lived there in the 60s. It was a pretty great city. I visited there a few years ago. I thought I was in Saigon during the war. It's like a war zone back there. Barricades around all government buildings. When VIP officials go down the street with the black cars and sirens, look on the rooftops. There are snipers up there. Being down part of the audience under that does not make me feel safe. It tends to make me afraid. We have bomb-sniffing dogs under Metro and much more. It's like a combat zone there. Letting the JTF in here would be a step I'm moving Portland the same way. Keep Portland the way it is. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Smith.
Hey, Mr. Mayor. Where to start? I believe that huge tyrannies are pieced together one little law at a time, one little piece of legislation. All those of you who plan to join the JTTF in any form or fashion, you have my contempt. My contempt will be felt at the ballot box. The FBI is a rapist. They've raped my civil liberties. They've raped everyone's civil liberties in this country because collectively, every time they come down on any one of us, we should all act as if though it's happening to us. That's what people don't get, okay? They don't have any respect for our Constitution or our Bill of Rights. There are thousands of examples of the FBI trampling everything it is to be great about an American for as long as I've been alive. Now, when you find out that your daughter is planning to marry a serial rapist, the last thing that should come to anyone's mind is, oh, I think I should get a prenuptial agreement. Oh, Mr. Rapist, you can marry my daughter as long as you promise not to rape her. It doesn't make any sense to me at all, okay? That's precisely the logic you people are using while considering rejoining the JTTF, and it's infuriating for anyone who's sane and can read. The logical thing to do is to get rid of the rapist. Let's send the JTF packing, okay? Get them out of Portland. Okay, the war on terrorism is a sad joke that defies logic and reason. Okay, 100,000 Americans die every year by taking prescription medications as directed by their doctors. The 10th anniversary of 9/11 is coming soon. That's 1 million dead Americans. That's a real problem you can address and actually do something about. Okay, here's another fun little fact. Okay, wrap your minds around this. According to a groundbreaking 2003 medical report, Death by Medicine, by doctors Gary Knoll, Carolyn Dean, Martin Feldman, and Deborah Rizzo, and Dorothy Smith, 783,936 people die every year in the United States from medical mistakes. That's since 9/11, let's add that up. That's 7,839,360 deaths in the year since 9/11. These are people killed by our own medical industry. It's a real problem that can be addressed.
Mr. Smith, I need you to wrap up.
Sure. I'll wrap up. That's 1 million more people than Hitler killed in a death camps. But there's only one big difference between what happened to them and what happened to us. Those people were rounded up and drug off to those camps at gunpoint. We pay huge insurance premiums to have that done to us by medical premiums. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense at all, okay?
Thank you for your testimony. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
Thanks,
Mr. Smith.
My contempt
will be felt at the ballot box.
Thanks, Mr. Smith. Thank you all for your testimony. The next three
are Rebecca Lewis, Malcolm Shaddock, and Mindy Stone. Okay. How about Cherry Lambert-Holenstein? And then following them will be Nancy Newell, Shelley Fox-Loken, and Mark Kramer.
Ms. Lewis?
Hi, I'm Rebecca Lewis. I'm a member of the International Socialist Organization, and if you haven't seen us around town, I'm sure you've seen us on Glenn Beck. There's a couple of concerns that I actually have after hearing some of this testimony that are even worse than the concerns that I had before I got here. And the main concern that I have is that we're using a term to define criminal nexus that has no specific legal definition on purpose. And I'm really concerned that if we don't have a specific legal definition of what constitutes criminal nexus, that can be interpreted however somebody in charge of interpreting it chooses to use that term. I was part of the Campus Anti-War Network when I was in college, and I was spied on by the Department of Defense. And those kinds of irresponsible uses of government resources are really damaging to private citizens who have no criminal history whatsoever. And I don't really trust the FBI to volunteer information to us as citizens about what their investigations entail. I don't trust a very malleable definition of what constitutes criminal nexus as something that will force the FBI to follow our state laws about how these investigations are going to happen. I've been spied on before. I'm probably going to get spied on again. I'm a socialist. That's what happens to socialists in America, in the strong tradition of Eugene Debs. I want to say that, like, I really oppose the use of our government resources to spy on peaceful activists when we could be using those resources, especially here in Portland, to house people, to clothe people, to send people to school. Thank you.
Thanks, Ms. Lewis. Hi, welcome.
Hi, thank you. My name is Mindy Stone. And I just want to relay two short stories, but the point of the story is that all the government security organizations violate our civil rights, and it happens all the time. And my two examples, one briefly in Melbourne, Florida, on the second inauguration of George Bush, our small little peace group had a rally in front of City Hall, and the there was a police truck set up on one side of the City Hall with crime scene written on it, and there was somebody across the street filming the group that was standing there with posters saying they opposed George Bush's presidency. People who were filmed filed a Freedom of Information Act request using the ACLU of Florida to find out what agencies were involved, police agencies. They found out Melbourne Police Department and the Brevard County Sheriff's Department was involved with Homeland Security, and they had infiltrated the meetings up to plan this event on the inauguration. They used the videotape. They filmed somebody's license plate. The first, we got a copy of the film, and they violated somebody's civil rights by having the plate on the film. And it turns out that neither the sheriff's department knew what the police department was doing or vice versa. They didn't know that each organization was involved with Homeland Security. So, I mean, and the sad part was, is the police department and the sheriff's department violated these citizens' right to express their concern or opposition to the presidency. I find that a terrible waste of taxpayer dollars using the federal government, Homeland Security, in that operation. The second story has to do with the FBI.
I need you to wrap up.
I will wrap it up. My friend who was born in Iraq, who was here in 1977, became a citizen, was approached by the FBI. He called me. I came over just to sit next to him to pay attention to the conversation. They asked him all kinds of questions. He gladly offered up information. Then they started asking him when was the last time he attended a mosque. When I stepped in to say, don't answer that question, they accused me of standing in and stopping this conversation I had no business doing. So the FBI and the police department routinely violate people's freedoms of right and religion.
Thanks for your testimony, ma'am.
Thank you.
Hi, welcome back.
Hi, Terry Lambert Holenstein. This is a bad law, so my opposition to the JTTF is continuous. Edmund Burke, 1870, said, bad laws are the worst sort of tyranny. The history of this country is replete with attacks on people exercising their civil liberties. This city's problems are enormous, and its concern about terrorism is misdirected. This concern should be directed at the U.S. killing of millions of civilians abroad, torture, a poverty draft, billions and billions of dollars spent on wars, the CIA becoming more militaristic, according to Mr. Obama's latest decisions, the firing of whistleblowers, the reopening of 9/11. In 2003, the city council here opposed a resolution saying no to the invasion of Iraq. A resolution carries no weight. It's only a feel-good position. War doesn't feel good. Your time should be spent on the possible irradiation from the horrific Japanese tragedy, on the nuclear power plant across the river, formerly named Whoops, but euphemistically renamed, on the entrapment of that young man in December 2010. If that young man was a relative of any of yours, wouldn't you want and expect help of a different sort, not carrying out a tragic plan to build a bomb and potentially kill people? It should be spent on Hanford, just across the river, being named the radioactive dump site of the United States. I have handouts on this. It's here in May 19th, 6:30 p.m., Doubletree Inn. Please come and oppose that. We don't need more nuclear waste in Hanford. This Oregonian paper mentions one-fifth of Oregon graduates, high school, fail the military, math, and reading skills, rudimentary. Same page mentions homeless, mentally ill, shot dead. At the bottom by Paul Krugman, don't expect suffering to end anytime soon, referring to unemployment and recovery. Our water rates are going up 85%, and our water will be degraded. Our problems are enormous in this city. We are creating terrorists as we speak. And just as a quick aside, Bobby Kennedy, as Attorney General of the U.S., allowed an illegal wiretap on Martin Luther King Jr.
Thanks for your testimony. Who's next?
Next three are Nancy Newell, Shelley Fox Loken, and Mark Kramer. And then the last person who signed up will be Lisa Faye.
Thanks for waiting. We really appreciate it. Ms. Newell.
Thank you. Thank you for your patience. I just want you to know I'm a very proud activist. I have been for 35 years anti-war activist, the rights of homosexuals in this country. And that's why I'm surprised, Mayor Adams, that you wouldn't begin to participate with the FBI. You know what they did. I was in the WTO labor activity in Seattle, and what they did to the gay community is horrific. And you know what happened as a result. This is not a group you want in our city. It will have, number one, no effect on stopping terrorism. There are now viruses that can affect the cooling of towers in nuclear power plants. I am one of the people that helped close the Trojan nuclear plant. You can now put a medal on me for saving millions of lives and preventing dead zones. This is serious. This is what's serious. This JTTF is a joke, and it's an insult to the Muslim community. If you want to build a relationship with the Muslim community, you forget about the JTTF now. And I mean that. On all the experience that I've had, I'm on 4 FBI lifts. I've been an activist, never been put in jail. 5 people just did a civil disobedience at the Trident submarine base with the ability to blow up the world 50 times. They cut 2 fences, were on the base for 4 hours, major military operation, made it to the submarine, and then they were noticed. Now, don't tell me that the JTTF, with all its research, all its suspicions, the word terrorism is equivalent to McCarthyism. My mother was a Republican and said, this will kill our country. And she was right. And you are doing the same thing.
Thanks for your testimony, Ms. Mill. Hi. Thanks for waiting.
My name is Shelley Fox Loken. I'm just a citizen representing myself. I'm also a former law enforcement person. I worked for the state of Oregon for 17 years as a parole and probation officer and in other capacities. During that time, when I was a parole and probation officer, I came to be used by various law enforcement agencies to use my powers in a way that they were not intended, in a way that met the police officers' needs. And I became more and more aware that different police agencies do that with each other on a regular basis. I have no faith or belief that the police will restrain themselves according to the agreement that the ACLU got you to agree to. I'm very concerned about the very vague wording of, and I'm losing the word.
Criminal nexus.
Yes, the nexus. The more loosely defined things are, the more police officers and people in those capacities will go outside the parameters, and they will push the edges always, is my experience. And I think that Portland, in addition to many of its other problems, also has a very serious problem with trust from the citizens of the police, and most assuredly and most especially and most justifiably from those community members of color or of different religious groups or other groups. But there's a trust problem in this city, and I think that this will aggravate that trust problem because I think the trust of the FBI is even worse. And so if you put those together, that's not going to enhance or help the problems that we currently have with our citizens. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Sir.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, Mr. Mayor, I have 3 minutes. I promise to be focused, direct, and analytical.
For you, yes.
I am a member of the National Lawyers Guild. I'm an attorney and a former Red Squad Portland police suspect. When I represented anti-apartheid activists in the mid-80s, I was put on the Portland Red Squad red list. I'm asking you to take a deep breath.
So I need to get your name, sir. For
Mark
that.
Kramer, K-R-A-M-E-R. I'm asking you all to take a deep breath, and in view of the sea change from the last resolution on in public, which had the full investigation as the threshold, to the current 48-hour notice we've gotten to analyze the criminal nexus. That's a sea change. It is major. I'm asking you to take a deep breath, consider the comments of me and other members on this nexus standard and not vote today. Secondly, because I fear that the die is cast, no matter what I say, I'm not going to be able to alter your perspective, I ask you to expressly take into account and to write into the SOPs a refinement of the criminal nexus standard. I think that is critical. Now, with a focus on the criminal nexus standard, the problem is it is not known, it is not vague, it is not precise. What we ought to be using is ORS, Oregon Revised Statute, Reasonable Suspicion Standard. And I quote it to you from ORS 131615. A peace officer who reasonably suspects that a person has committed or is about to commit a crime. Reasonable suspicion, like probable cause, has legal meaning. So let me give you an example, Mr. Mayor. If 3 months from now, an officer comes to you and says, Mark Kramer, in a synagogue-related activity, decided to send some money to a social service organization affiliated with Hamas. We'd like to investigate him as part of the JTTF. What if they go further, because you say, I don't think that's enough. They go further and says, well, Mark has contacted a Muslim colleague in a mosque who is a former representative of Hamas, and they are joining together to raise $10,000 to send to Hamas. Now, is that enough? Under criminal nexus, we don't know. Under reasonable suspicion, you can contact the city attorney and ask for a specific memo that will tell you about what reasonable suspicion is. I want to tell you what the FBI manual is. I'm sure you have it, but it says, and now you're saying that JTTF on a criminal nexus can participate in a assessment. This is from the FBI manual. This is current SOP for the FBI. It permits an agent proactively or based on leads to scrutinize a person or a group for signs of criminal or national security threat. No particular factual predicate about a target to open an assessment is needed, although the basis cannot be arbitrary or groundless. Agents are allowed to use ethnicity, religion, or speech protected by the First Amendment as a factor as long as it is not the only one. The problem with criminal nexus, it permits Portland police officers in violation of Oregon law using the FBI manual to participate in assessment activity. That is the problem. I am asking you to adopt a criminal reasonable suspicion standard. And finally, the last thing I want to say is the resolution is unclear as to if the city attorney, number one, does not get the information that is needed, or number two, is not able to tell you, Mr. Mayor, or the officer who poses a query that activity is consistent with Oregon law. This resolution does not say what it needs to say is under those two circumstances, the officer may not participate. Thank you very much.
Thank you all very much.
Appreciate it.
If I could, Mayor Adams, I think this is an important point. Mark and I have worked together on a number of issues, and I want to address the point he raises. I'm concerned that you only read half of the be it further resolved. So I think it needs to be read in its entire context. So it says PP officers shall work with the JTTF only on investigations of suspected terrorism that have a criminal nexus, semicolon. Following that, it says, in situations where the statutory or common law of Oregon is more restrictive of law enforcement than comparable federal law, the investigating methods employed by PPB officers, Portland Police Bureau officers, working on JTTF investigations shall conform to the requirements of such Oregon statutes or common law. So I would agree with you if there was a period after the term criminal nexus, but we intentionally added the modifier of requiring that whatever, however one wants to identify or define criminal nexus, it must conform with Oregon law, where Oregon's law is more restrictive in specifically investigative tactics than is federal law.
Mr. Mayor, and may I respond briefly to Commissioner Leonard? Thank you, Commissioner Leonard. I just want to alert you to the other problem with the nexus language. It says, of suspected terrorism that have a criminal nexus. And I would respectfully suggest that we add to that language of suspected terrorism that have a criminal nexus to the suspected terrorist investigation. The reason for that is the FBI has a history of using a criminal nexus to go after tax fraud, campaign contributions, violation of mail fraud statutes. If we are to participate as PPB in a JTTF investigation, it should be connected to the terrorist activity and not connected to mail fraud, charity, or a thousand of other federal applications. As it is written, it permits the sideshow, the diversion of police resources into those activities.
Mayor Adams, I am not actually consuming more time than would otherwise be consumed because I was going to address this precise point in remarks when the next person is done. So I think this is a great opportunity. I appreciate Mark's dialogue with me. There, I have been listening to the testimony this afternoon, and I think there exists yet still with some, maybe not a clear notion of what this resolution does. And your remarks make me think that we haven't been as clear from our side what we're doing here. The FBI, under the terms of this resolution, does not do what they do in every other jurisdiction in the United States that has signed an MOU to belong to a JTTF. In those jurisdictions, and this has been and if you recall, Mark, Mayor Potter signed on to the resolution I wrote in 2005, withdrawn from the JTTF. So I'm not coming late to this party. This is something that I've initiated and felt strongly about. I object to having our officers directed by or influenced by federal agencies and or policies where they are contrary to Oregon and local law. This resolution, for the first time, sets a barrier between what the federal government may or may not think is a violation of law and what our police chief and commissioner in charge under Oregon law believe exists in terms of a violation. So in other words, they may think that there is some nexus to a tax fraud, or they may think there is a nexus connected to some other kind of violation. But what this resolution does is it speaks only to the city. It doesn't enter into an agreement with the federal government. It says to the city, only under certain conditions can you allow the federal government to access the resources of the Portland Police Bureau. And here are the conditions that those are. So in other words, if the federal government comes to us and says, we think there is a criminal nexus by person A to bank fraud, and under the terms of the JTTF, we would like you to initiate investigations, our police chief and our mayor are prohibited from doing so under the terms of this resolution. It doesn't matter what the federal government thinks or says to us.
I thank you, Mr. Commissioner. I know my time is up. I would just ask that if you pass this, that specific commentary be reflected in the SOP. I think it is critically important.
I agree, and I intend to have that happen.
Thank you.
No.
The last person was
the mayor
Lisa.
Intends, I'm sorry. The mayor intends to have that happen under
Lisa Fay?
She's not here.
Okay, thank you.
All right. That concludes the public testimony. Discussion on council.
If I could just finish the thought, because as I've been having listening to testimony and then going out in the hall and talking to Andrea Meyer, she reminds me that there's a couple things that she thinks needs to be clarified in addition to the exchange that I just had. She, in fact, nor has anybody from the Joint Terrorism Task Force, Mayor Adams, as you are aware, have not directly negotiated with anybody in the federal government. You have had a series of meetings with them. I've had meetings with them. You have had a series of meetings with the U.S. Attorney and the FBI. I, too, have had a series of meetings. We have at times met together with them. We have at times met separately with them. Other members of the council may have done so as well.
And I think in fairness, the ACLU, I believe, has met with all members of the council to express their concerns at one time or another.
But the point that she wanted stressed was she did not negotiate directly with the federal government on any aspect of this.
That's absolutely correct.
And I want to make that clear for the record at her request. I also think that it's with the risk of being repetitive, to make clear that, especially listen to the exchange with Commissioner Saltzman and U.S. Attorney Holton that was answering those queries, because I was concerned that some of those exchanges could be misunderstood. To be clear, when this resolution is in place, and if tomorrow the U.S. attorney requests assistance for what they think exists that meets the definition of criminal nexus to have access for Portland police officers, that does not mean that the police chief or the commissioner will assign officers to them. The police chief and the police commissioner have to, on their own volition, define the request by the federal government as meeting the terms of our resolution before we assign them to them. And that is a fundamental difference between what happens in other jurisdictions that have memorandums of understandings between the Joint Terrorism Task Force and the local police departments. And I do not want anybody voting on this does not clearly understand the huge distinction that we are drawing here in Portland and what happens, for instance, in San Francisco. Andrea mentioned San Francisco in her testimony. In San Francisco, The ACLU made a Freedom of Information Act request and discovered memorandum of understanding that exists that even the police commission in San Francisco is the governing body of the San Francisco Police Department, that even the police commission itself was not aware of, that the San Francisco Police Department had signed, that would purport to have officers assigned to the Joint Terrorism Task Force via that memorandum of understanding between the FBI and the San Francisco PD be involved in investigations that their own local policies would prohibit them from being involved in. That's a very important thing to understand. That now, out of fairness, I will tell you the article I read on the subject, the San Francisco Police Department insists that they did not do anything different than what their local policy requires. But according to a member of the police commission in San Francisco, and I'll read to you the quote that I read in the newspaper. This is just from 2 days ago. The MOU is disturbing, Police Commission member Petrea De Jesus told The Guardian. The department is assuring us that local policies are not being violated, but it looks as if it's subject to interpretation. When we passed this resolution, the conditions that allowed San Francisco PD to get themselves in the situation they are vis-a-vis their governing body will not exist in the city of Portland, because our governing document will be this resolution that we wrote, that we passed. It does not, as the MOUs that all the other cities sign, assign officers to the Joint Terrorism Task Force, who then work under the Joint Terrorism Task Force policies and procedures as set forth by the U.S. Department of Justice and the FBI. These are conditions that our police will work under only the resolution of the City of Portland, and thus the resolution says we have decided not to sign a memorandum of understanding with the federal government. I don't want anybody to vote on this and not completely understand that distinction.
Thank you. Please call the vote.
Oh, I have an amendment.
Oh.
It's a friendly amendment. Okay. The assertion was made in testimony that resolutions are not binding, but in fact they are binding on the city. And but this one specifically says that the provisions of this resolution are binding city policy and no element can be changed without an open public hearing. So in the spirit of that, I want to amend the third, be it resolved, on the second page to specify that, in fact, it's the chief of police who reports any actual violation to the commissioner in charge rather than the Portland Police Bureau officers. So the amendment is to add the chief of police after and before shall in the third line down of that, be it further resolved.
I accept that as a friendly amendment.
So it's the third resolved on the second page, right after 181.850.
Yes.
And then
police shall immediately report any actual violation rather than the Portland police officers.
Okay.
Because that's the chain of command.
Yeah, it's an amendment of clarity, and I accept it as a friendly amendment.
Thank you.
Okay.
Carly, would you please call the vote?
Thank you.
Fish.
I want to begin by thanking everybody that took time today to come forward and testify and share their views. And, in fact, throughout this process, shared their views with this council. Our vote today is the culmination of almost 5 months of work that began the morning after an incident that tainted one of our favorite civic celebrations, the tree lighting ceremony in Pioneer Courthouse Square. I'm pleased that this council did not rush to judgment. Mayor Adams, I believe you made the right call when you announced your work plan, which has informed the council's decision on the Joint Terrorist Task Force issue. And I also want to, at the outset of my remarks, thank you, Mayor Adams, for your leadership throughout this process. Lord knows there have been many challenges along the way, but I would say persistence is one of your better virtues. The U.S. Attorney, Dwight Holton, who, frankly, I barely knew 6 months ago, was on the stage with the mayor and me during the tree lighting ceremony and has been by the side of this council every day since. I believe I can say with some certainty that without a partner like Dwight, we would never have been able to craft the resolution that is before council today. This council also benefited greatly from the quiet and effective leadership of Portland Police Chief Mike Reese. Any relationship with law enforcement must be grounded in trust. And I believe in words and in deeds, Chief Reese has earned our trust. We've had a wide-ranging and thoughtful process. Again, I want to thank everybody that's weighed in on this matter. And I've had dozens of meetings with people in my office. I've attended numerous public forums, council presentations, to the individuals, to the advocacy groups, to the law enforcement professionals, to all who took this issue so seriously. I'm grateful for the time they spent educating us. As with all of my colleagues, I have carefully reviewed all the information that I received, including many letters and emails, the testimony for council, and briefings that I received. I've asked some tough questions along the way, and I've always tried to keep an open mind throughout this process. As a city commissioner, I take very seriously my duty to keep Portland safe. As a former civil rights lawyer, I also take very seriously my duty to protect our cherished constitutional freedoms and liberties. For me, and for some time, this debate has boiled down to two fundamental questions. First, are we safer if we strengthen our partnership with the JTTF? Second, if yes, can we do so consistent with our laws and our values? I'll start with the first question. I believe we face serious threats from Al-Qaeda, its allies, and from domestic terrorist groups. This September, we marked the 10th anniversary of the deadliest attack on American soil in our history. And at this moment, Americans are in the field fighting and dying to protect our freedoms. Every law enforcement official, local, regional, and national, who has weighed in on this issue before us has stated clearly and forcefully that we are safer as a city, as a state, and if a country, if Portland cooperates more fully with the JTTF. As has been previously noted, virtually every major city in America, including New York, San Francisco, Oakland, and Seattle, participate in one way or another with the JTTF. I believe that our current policy hinders good communication and fails to take advantage, full advantage, of the tactical and operational strengths of the Portland Police Bureau. Just as important, having well-trained Portland police officers participate not only brings detailed knowledge about our community to the JTTF, but it also puts Portland values at the table. We are not an island or a castle. We depend on the work of JTTF members across this country to keep us safe, and I think it's important that we do our part as well. I've concluded that Portland and our nation would be safer if we participated more fully in the JTTF. My second question deals with civil liberties. The debate over security and liberty is as old as our republic, and we heard some profound testimony today that reminded us that we have frequently throughout our history not been faithful to our cherished constitutional values. I take seriously the concerns raised by my friends in the Muslim American community, the Japanese American community, and other groups that have been targeted in the past and have seen their rights infringed. During this debate, federal officials have made the right commitments. The General Counsel of the FBI and the U.S. Attorney have pledged to follow Oregon law. But under the premise of trust but verify, I am only willing to work more closely with federal law enforcement, provided we adhere strictly to the key components in this compromise resolution. They include the top secret clearance of the police chief and the opportunity for the commissioner in charge to seek secret clearance. Regular consultations between the FBI special agent in charge and the police chief. At least yearly training by the city attorney on applicable state and federal law. Annual reports to council on police bureau, JTTF activities, and legal compliance. clear recourse for task force members who feel there may have been a violation of state law. Access to the city attorney by task force participants as needed. Supervision by the Portland Police Bureau chain of command. And perhaps most importantly, the judgment of the police chief on when and how to deploy our officers. With these protections in place, I believe that Portland's participation in the JTTF will strengthen not just our security, but the security of our nation. And in closing, I want to thank all my colleagues for the way they've approached this issue. People can agree or disagree with the verdict of this council today, but I believe that from the beginning of this process, this debate has been one of the more thoughtful and honest and candid discussions that I've participated in. We would not be here without strong leadership from this mayor. I appreciate the role that Commissioner Leonard has played throughout this process, just as much as I've also appreciated the conversations I've had with Commissioner Fritz and Commissioner Saltzman. We all come at this issue with different perspectives and different histories, different concerns, but I believe we are all united with a deep concern and deep commitment to keeping our community safe while protecting our values. I believe this compromise resolution achieves those goals, and therefore I vote aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I sincerely appreciate the efforts of my colleagues and the mayor, U.S. Attorney Dwight Holton, Deputy Attorney Ellen Osniak. They have worked long and hard to reach an agreement about Portland's participation in the Joint Terrorism Task Force. And I truly believe that being at the table with the FBI and the Oregon State Police, the Washington County Sheriff's Office, being at the table, we can do a much better job of keeping Portlanders safe and also respecting our civil liberties. I'm still troubled by our unwillingness to sort of embrace the word, whether we're rejoining or talking about memorandums of understanding. But I think that this agreement is leaps and bounds beyond where we started in November, and it's light years ahead of where we left off in what I consider to be a disappointing 2005 when we withdrew from the Joint Terrorism Task Force. I think this is light years ahead of that. It gets us to working together. It gets us to respecting civil liberties. So maybe Mayor Adams has learned, as I've learned in reading military history and stuff like that, like any good general, when you encounter an immovable object, like the issue of join, are we in, are we out, MOU or not MOU, go around it. And I think that's what we're doing here. I think we're coming up with language that all, perhaps all five of us can support. And certainly, as people well know, I've supported us being part of the JTTF, and I think that that's what we're doing here. By committing to participate in the Joint Terrorism Task Force, we're fulfilling our obligations to Portlanders to work to keep them safe, and also fulfilling the obligation we have to the rest of the nation to prevent terrorism. And I do want to say that was a very important provision to me. The resolution speaks to the fact that service on the JTTF is a national obligation. And if we are requested by another JTTF or another city because we have unique skills that can help, we will be there, subject to the terms of this resolution. And to me, that's an important national obligation. We're not a city state. We are part of this country. And, you know, while the FBI has a checkered history, it doesn't do us any good to be sitting here and talking about things that happened 60 years ago or 50 years ago. It does us more important to figure out how we're going to move ahead, working together for a safer Portland and a safer nation. I'm pleased to vote aye.
Leonard.
Thank you. There are some who believe that being secure from terrorism while simultaneously honoring the constitutional dictum that protects freedom of speech, religion, and assembly are two mutually exclusive goals. As Chief Reese said in his testimony, I too believe, just as our founding fathers did, that we can balance our sacred civil rights while simultaneously securing our citizenry from acts of terrorism. However, I'll be the first to admit, especially after this process, that finding that balance is easy. It's anything but easy. In my view, asking no questions and setting no conditions and just blindly joining the Joint Terrorism Task Force and entering into the FBI's memorandum of agreement disrupts that balance. And therefore, I would not support that. As I mentioned in my remarks a few moments ago, San Francisco is in the midst of a controversy as we speak here tonight surrounding their department's signing secretly a memorandum of understanding with their Joint Terrorism Task Force that may or may not have caused San Francisco officers to follow their local laws that are more restrictive than federal laws. The bigger point in that story for me is that by passing this resolution tonight, the Portland Police Bureau is not joining the Joint Terrorism Task Force, and therefore the City of Portland will not be entering into the same kind of memorandum of agreement nor any kind of memorandum agreement such as what San Francisco agreed to that set the stage for the controversy they find themselves currently embroiled in. But to be absolutely clear, we do need to have a proactive and effective working relationship with the variety of local, state, and federal agencies if and when anyone intends to inflict casualties upon civilians or sworn personnel. I believed that the 2005 resolution accomplished clear lines of authority and responsibility to accomplish that goal. However, in reviewing the entire incident that occurred last November at Pioneer Courthouse Square, I am persuaded that our 2005 resolution needed to be more specific as to when and when not it is appropriate to sign Portland police officers to work in partnership with federal authorities on specific cases of terrorist threats. But to be clear, the mayor and the police chief will determine whether or not a criminal nexus exists before we, as a city, assign officers to work on any case related to anything that is characterized as terrorism. We will be the deciders of what is or is not a terrorist case. I do believe that this resolution does a better job than the 2005 resolution it replaces in balancing the need for protecting our civil rights and providing security for our citizenry. And I, too, want to thank Mayor Adams for the extraordinary effort that he brought to bringing all of this together. Aye.
Fritz. I'm very proud of Portland. I'm very proud of Portlanders for having this kind of open, transparent public process to make this decision. Obviously, not everybody agrees with the decision, but you have to respect that there has been an open process where every step of the way citizens have had input. And I thank Mayor Adams for that, for having a reasoned, extended process where this, I have learned a lot from all of my colleagues and from the public, from my office staff and from Vanessa Olguin, our intern, and from all the citizens who've participated in this process, whether in person, by email, by telephone. I've learned a lot, and I appreciate all of the input. I thought about all the input. Thank particularly the League of Women Voters and the Human Rights Commission and Portland Cop Watch, who have each provided their expert testimony, and I appreciate that. I am concerned about civil rights and human rights, and I believe they have and can be violated in these types of investigations. We need to approach every investigation with the concept of doing no harm to citizens who are expressing their rights to free expression and freedom of assembly. And I know from talking with Chief Reese that he does uphold those constitutional rights dearly, and indeed our police officers are sometimes assigned to help keep the peace for those who are opposing them, and I appreciate that challenge. The JTTF is already operating in Portland. The FBI is already operating in Portland. I want our police officers to know what's going on. I want our police officers who are sworn to uphold the Oregon Constitution, the laws, and this resolution to be informed about what the JTTF is doing and to be communicating with the police chief and the commissioner in charge. I appreciate the mayor agreeing to my request that the annual report in January will be a public document, that every year we will get a report on the activities and citizens will be available, will be have that information and be able to comment on it. And I do want to see all of the data and statistics requested by Andrea Meyer in this hearing in that report. I think those kinds of details are what I will be looking for next January, and I think it'll be good that, again, Portland will be having a very public review of what our officers have been doing and maybe some of what are the good outcomes or the bad outcomes we will find out. This resolution is very clear. We're not rejoining the JTTF with a standard memorandum of MOU. And I think that's a good thing. It's crafted to be very Portland and very clear about what our expectations of our officers, our police chief, and our commissioner in charge are. In the end, the ACLU is one of the standard bearers for civil liberties in our country. And with the support of Andrea Meyer and the ACLU, with the tentative support of Brandon Mayfield, and I did consider his comments about the specifics, I think there's pieces of this that any one of us is not entirely comfortable with. But as a package and as a agreement, which is pretty historic between the U.S. Attorney Representative and the ACLU, I think it moves us forward and it does make us safer. So thank you to Andrea Meyer and Dwight Holton for informing this process. And again, thank you to the mayor for leading it and for bringing us to this resolution. Aye.
Adams.
Well, I want to thank the Oregon ACLU and the U.S. Department of Justice, the Oregon office, Andrea Meyer from ACLU, Dwight Holton from the interim U.S. Attorney for Oregon. You don't agree on everything, but you've agreed enough to, I think, impact the national debate and the national discourse on what does it mean to not just be passionate about values, but to put those values into action in a way that both better prevents and investigates acts of terrorism while simultaneously balancing civil liberties and civil rights with an eye to ever enhancing cities, this city and others, enhancing as open societies, inclusive societies. I hope this informs the national debate because I think that the work that was done here is a vast improvement on the status quo. And I think it's a vast improvement on the status quo because we're one of the few cities that have had these debates and gone into the details that makes all of us slightly uncomfortable and depending on the details. But we are trying to strike that balance. We do reject the false choice as only being civil liberties, civil rights, or safety. And we're seeking to do both. I want to again underscore my thanks for Ellen Asenak. I am so glad you are part of this. You are now a national expert on these issues, whether you like it or not. I want to underscore my thanks to Mike Reese as our chief, who, you know, made me stay on the operational aspects and to not just live in the land of slogans and rhetoric, but, you know, asking the good questions of what does that mean? In terms of the daily work. And I want to thank Amrit Sandhu in my office and my office team for your great work on this. It's been difficult, but I'm pleased with the result. And again, my colleagues, all of you, made important contributions, and I'm grateful. Aye. We're adjourned.